Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We just thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us everything we need to destroy the works of Satan. And we pray tonight, as the message goes out, that we will touch people everywhere, Father. I know that you have a desire for people to be saved today. And I pray that the message will go out in power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. That's where I'm going to take my text, so get your Bible and follow along with me. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see God the Father and God the Son Jesus here. He said, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, there's 9 things that God has done for us here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, just in this one chapter here. Number 1, he has blessed us. Notice that. Not going to, we already are. Look at this. Here, Apostle Paul gives thanks for spiritual blessings. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is not something that we're trying to get. This is something that we already have. He has blessed us. Number 2, he has chosen us. Did you know that you and I have been chosen by God? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice that. He has chosen us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy or set apart and without blame. That's how we are to stand before God, without blame, before him, in love. Well, number 3, he has predestined us. According to Ephesians 1:5, says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We've been adopted into the family of God. He said, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I know there's a song out there that says, I am a friend of God. And we're talking about Abraham. But not only are we a friend of God, but we're in the family of God. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was according to his good pleasure, and it was according to his will. And Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have an inheritance. We were predestined according to the purpose of him, the purpose of Christ, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. It was his will that he predestinated us. Number 4, he has made us accepted. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, there's a lot of people, they're in that clique or that clique. But did you know that we have been accepted? Not only have we been chosen by God, but we're accepted by God because of the blood of Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. We have been accepted in the beloved to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us. You see that? He's made us accepted in the beloved. Number 5, he has redeemed us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom, that's Jesus, we have redemption. That means he bought us back. Through his blood, everything that we get because of the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. We've been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. According to the riches of his grace, we have nothing to boast about. It was Jesus that did everything, and we just received what he did for us. Number 6, he has abounded toward us. Ephesians 1:8 says, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. A lot of times, a lot of Christians, it's like a little dog that goes around in a circle chasing their tail. They're trying to get something that the Word of God already says belongs to us. See, the benefits of God belong to us as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, just like healing and prosperity and all the benefits. We're trying to get something that we've already got. Number 7, he has made known unto us. He's not trying to hide things from us. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You'll hear people say, well, I'm trying to find the will of God. Well, his word is his will. See that? He's already made known unto us the mystery of his will, and it's found in the word of God, according to his good pleasure. Notice that. God is a good God. He's not angry at the people anymore because of the blood of Jesus. Now, if they die lost in their sins, they'll spend eternity in hell. But as long as they're alive, they're still hoping for salvation. He said, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, in Christ. Notice that he has made known unto us the mystery of his will. Number 8, he has given us an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. He's got a mansion for us. You know why Jesus hasn't come back and raptured the church just yet? Because he's still working on our mansion. He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. We got an inheritance, beloved. Verse 14 says of Ephesians 1, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. He bought us with the blood of Jesus unto the praise of his glory. We are his inheritance. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. Number 9, he has sealed us. He said, in whom ye also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth. That's the word of God, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we become born again, we was in Christ, then we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, number 1, he has blessed us. Number 2, he has chosen us. Number 3, he has predestinated us. Number 4, he has made us accepted. Number 5, he has redeemed us. Number 6, he has abounded toward us. Number 7, he has made known unto us. Number 8, he has given us an inheritance. And number 9, he has sealed us. Well, these are 9 things that God has done for us in Ephesians chapter 1. Well, you heard the word. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you for that message. That was a great message. One we need. Praise the Lord. We need to know that we've already got the promise. We just need to start. Harris, up to you.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. It's indeed a pleasure to be here today and to know it and not have, we don't have to be on this earth complaining and trying to have our way. If we're going to follow after Jesus and we follow after him, then he'll make it, if we seek first the coming kingdom of God, he'll add the rest to us. But it takes us many years to learn that. Tonight I want to do some of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. It starts out, we'll start in the second verse, unto the churches of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, by the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. It was God who loved us enough to send his son Jesus down here to die for us, to take his blood and wash away our sins. You know, we try to cleave to men. We don't want to divide ourselves from men. And we were looking to men for power. We looking for buildings for power. But the only power is in Jesus Christ. So therefore, our lives should be about Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ wanted us to do. And it's plain in this Bible, but you have to read off these pages and you have to study to show yourself approved, to make sure that you are right with God. And it comes from a heart that has surrendered. And you'll find out every day there's something new to surrender, something new to give up, a new way to think, and something new to do. I thank my God always on your way for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge. It is Jesus, his power, his love. Because we're down here on this earth, and we are here looking at what we can see. We need another vision other than what our eyes can see. And that vision is always in the Spirit. Peace and love and joy, the fruits of God's Spirit is always healing, is always in the Spirit. And it's nothing we can see literally with our eyes, our touch with our hands. It's a spirit, because God is a spirit, and we have to serve him in spirit. But we want it all. We want to be out here in the world. We want to rock and roll all night, and we want to have our way. Well, our way is not going to get you any salvation. It's not going to get you any healing. It's not going to get salvation, and it can't wash away no sins. Only Jesus did that. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you until the end, that you may be blameless in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, God is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. I in the world, the people, situations, condition, and everything we see tries to make a lie out of the word of God. And the reason they do that is because they don't know the word of God. And they don't know anything about his love. They don't know nothing about his healing. They don't know nothing about his salvation. And the part that's so bad about it, they don't want to know. So he didn't just save us. He saved us so that we could carry on his work. We have a work to do. And that work is to lift up Jesus. That work is to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Not things of this earth. Not things we see. Not things we sleep on and drive, live in. Those things, we are going to leave them here. And they can't help us where we're going. If we go to hell, nothing's going to help us. But you know, if when Jesus comes and gets us and takes us for a place he's prepared for us, you know, we have to be thankful today for that, for his coming. We have to believe it with our whole heart. And only when we believe it with our whole heart can we walk in it. You cannot ride the fence, you know. You see one day, you see people, some people one day and they one way and another day another way. But we have to make up our mind. We have to make a decision to follow Jesus. And I'm glad that one day I made a decision. I'm glad that I gave my life to Christ. Oh, there's nothing easy about it. But one thing about it, he's always with me. And I just praise him and worship him every day and thank him for all his blessings and thank him for my seed and their health and teaching my children and living before them the way that I should so they'll know how to live. And don't make me God, but I tell them about the God I know. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there is no division among you. Now, you know, if we're going to speak the same thing, we're not the judge, but we have to judge for ourselves. Now, if we're going out in the rain, we know we're going to need some kind of covering, or else we're going to get wet. So we have to stay out of places that we don't want that environment on us, because if our salt is not strong enough to be a saver, it's no good. If we're going out to the bar and we're going to drink more whiskey than somebody else, we don't have to condemn the whiskey shelf or the bottle, because it'll sit there for 10 million years. It's us that has this desire, oh, it's going to make me drink it. And then, of course, with those kind of spirits comes our desire to do the things that we don't have gumption or we don't have the strength or the desire. We're kind of weak about, you know, acting like you really want to. So after you get drunk, you don't care. You just act like you want to, and then you come up with an excuse every time. When you haven't done what God said do, I was drunk. But Jesus didn't come up with no excuse. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He went in the grave, and he rose in 3 days. He didn't have an excuse. He never had an excuse. He always did what he said he was going to do, praise God. But that ye were perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, because agreement, especially with the word of God, that is power. And when there's no agreement, much don't get done because you haven't decided to do anything. And the power comes from the word of God and the agreement with it. But when I'm going to have my way and then I'm going to do what the Bible says today and tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to do something different. We've all been where that we were unsaved. We didn't know about God's love. We certainly didn't know about forgiveness. Forgiveness seems to live with us longer than anything else. And that's when we really learn how to love ourselves, is when we learn how to forgive other people. And even still, after learning forgiveness, is to stop seeing other people's infirmities and their weaknesses, But let there be a prayer instead. Let there be a lifting up of Jesus to let them know, yeah, you might be weak in this area, but Jesus is not. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Choi, that there are contentions among you. Now this day that every one of you said, I am Paul, and I am Apollos, and Cephas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Cephas and Gaius. Lest any should say that they have been baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the households of Cephas besides. I know not whether I baptized anymore. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the word of God. Not with wisdom or words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, we hear a lot of preaching. We hear a lot of well put together words and people's opinions. But you know, if they're not telling you about the cross of Jesus Christ, if they're not teaching you about the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're on a wrong page, because that's the cross. You have to come by the way of the cross. There's no other way to get to the kingdom without coming by the cross. Jesus had to come by the cross, so do we. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved is the power of God. You know, the power of God is agreement in the word of God. And if you and I, you speak Chinese, I speak Japanese, and we speak French. But the word of God, we'll all be on the same page. We may not can understand one another's what we're saying, but we can work together. We can make the same pie. We can make the same cake. We can help somebody, because that's how the word of God is. The word of God delivers us out of this world. It sets us free. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the cross. I want to thank you for the work on the cross, Lord God. Let the work of the cross always be in our hearts and on our minds, thanking you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us because of your amazing love. We thank you for your awesome grace and mercy, Lord. Lord, let us live so that we can be in that grace and mercy and peace and love and joy and healing. But we must realize that we're not talking about things of this world, but things that are in the spirit. So, Lord God, we thank you. We serve you. Teach us, Lord, how to serve you in spirit and in truth, how to agree with one another and love one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise God. That's good. Praise the Lord. The power of the cross. Jesus. Praise the Lord. We've got Sister Marie with us tonight.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus, oh Jesus. We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus, oh Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. And we sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And we shout, glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings.
Well, good evening. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life and my everything. Good evening, Mr. Scott, Mother, and all the other pastors, ministers, and saints, and loyal listeners. Tonight, I just had this one word that stuck out. In Proverbs 8:29, God gave the waters boundaries. He commanded the waters to never flood the earth again the way they did in the day of Noah. Boundaries are related to self-control, and the Bible commands us to control ourselves. To know yourself and to be secure that you are loved and is essential to all relationship and activities. The better your boundaries of self-awareness and self-definition are, the greater your capacity to offer empathy and love to others. Good boundaries help you to care for others because you have a stable foundation to operate from and are not distracted or depleted by personal insecurities or blind spots. That's why it's not selfish or unloving to have boundaries and take care of yourself. It's especially important for pastors and ministers and leaders and other caregivers to learn to set limits for their own soul care. First of all, because they have needs to be loved and respected as much as anyone else. Secondly, because a ministry leader will, with weak and poorly defined and insecure boundaries, will eventually deplete as to be ineffective or inappropriate in helping others. Boundary problems are a lot of times why pastors fail. Jesus had a personal need that he put priority on, sometimes even over the needs of others, of the people he had. And he did so without feeling guilty. Primarily, his personal soul care had to do with separating himself from people to be alone with God, who he called Abba. Jesus lived in a rhythm of life that not only kept him free from burnout, but far beyond that, it kept him full of God, full of grace and truth, and therefore ready and able to be compassionate and generous in his response to people and their needs in the interruptions and crisis situations. Unlike many other servants of the Lord, Jesus did not live on the defense or overextending himself and getting more and more tired and then finally taking a break. Instead, Jesus lived on the offense in dealing with temptation and Satan. He was proactive in that he constantly invested in his intimacy. Hold on 1 minute. Invested in his intimacy with Abba, and this gave him energy and focus. Because he lived this way, he was never in danger of burnout. Another thing I saw in the gospel is that Jesus wasn't always nice to people. Often he didn't do what people wanted him to do. There were many people he didn't even help. And whenever he did help other people, he expected them to do their part. For instance, even in Jesus' miracles, he asked people to do something, usually something they felt they couldn't do. The blind man had to walk a long way to get to the pool of Siloam to wash the mud out of his eyes. These understandings about Jesus' way of life helped me to trust that it was right, not only healthy but also holy, for me to learn how to say no to people, speak the truth in love, and live without my personal limitations. Boundaries are about taking responsibility for our own lives. God gives us freedom to choose to live within our boundaries or outside of them. And to live outside of God's boundaries means to accept the consequences. Living inside God's boundaries brings blessings, and living outside of them brings destruction and death. Romans 6:23, Adam and Eve had one boundary in the Garden of Eden, abstaining from the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The Lord gave them freedom to remain within his bounds, but they chose to overstep the boundaries of sin. Their response to God's revelation of their sin was to blame someone else rather than to take responsibility for the lack of self-control. Eve blamed Satan and Adam blamed Eve. Genesis 3:12-13. Boundary limits destructive behavior, and that is why both God and society have laws and consequences for those who overstep the law. Boundaries are biblical and are commands from God. God says all throughout the Bible, thou shalt not. And we should not cross his boundaries. You know, he gave the waters boundaries. And the great Mississippi runs all the way to the Gulf of Mexico to this day. And it never mixes because he gave the water boundaries. Now, what would it be like if we didn't have boundaries from the Lord? You know, if this world goes on and on and gets into, this is 2016, and every year you see things that are far-fetched or what we would call just ludicrous or outrageous from 20 years ago. But now, same-sex marriage, they cross God's boundaries. God said, no. He said, thou shalt not. But they made it a law. Well, a man could marry a man and a woman could marry a woman, and that's an abomination to God. But they crossed God's boundary. It is so many things that you can do that's legal in this world that cross God's boundary. But us as Christians must stand up for the word of God, and no matter if they make a law saying it's so, then we still need to believe what God said, because there are consequences to crossing God's boundaries. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Don't want to cross those boundaries there, get you in trouble. Praise God, that's good. God has boundaries to protect us, because Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So, really, the commandments protect us. You know, they're not there to beat us up. They're there to protect us. Thank you for that message. Out of Colossians, the third chapter, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You got to remember that. Keep that in mind, that we are more heavenly than we are earthly, because we have been born again. Our spirits are alive to God. He says in Ephesians 2:1, you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we are alive to God now. We are in the spiritual world. We have come alive to the spiritual world, in the same world that Adam was. Adam was 100% like God, and he was 100% man, just like Jesus was. So it took 100% man and 100% God to come and redeem us. because we were made in the image and likeness of God. And now we have been brought back. We are reconciled back to God. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we really look at all of this, we must understand we're not here to be God, but we're here to be like God. You know, you said, well, we're not here to be like God. Well, read the fruit of the Spirit. When you read the fruit of the Spirit, that is the attributes of God. That is saying that, hey, love, joy, peace. Let me read that in the fifth chapter of Galatians. We were made in the image and likeness of God. That's our standard. God is our standard. This is what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ has crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we were made to be like God. The Bible tells us that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So God has already set us up with his authority. And if you don't know your position, you won't know your possessions. Many Christians are going, they're living without knowing who they are in Christ. You know, the Bible tells us until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he also says there will be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And then he says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into everything like unto the head, even Christ. So we were made to be like our Father. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. We were made to live a spiritual life. It stands right here in Colossians, the third chapter. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. You are dead to yourself. You're dead to the flesh. Your life is hid with Christ. Think about it. With Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Modify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And these, which you also walk, sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we need to live the life that is set before us. And that life is Jesus Christ. He set the standard. He is the standard. You know, says in Galatians 2 and 20, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." So we can remember, we're living by his faith. We're not living by our faith. We're living by his faith. His faith in God the Father is what we live by. So nobody has to tell me that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They don't have to tell me he died on the cross. The Holy Spirit inside of me bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. You really can't explain the existence of God to someone who's dead to God. In other words, our job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus Christ to them. Paul says some of us plant and some of us water. So I don't know. I may be planting seeds today, or I may be watering. But we do know that God will give the increase. And we got to remember that. We don't have to stress out trying to get people saved. You can't get anybody saved. There's no way you can get anyone saved. Your job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, no one calls Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God, and no one will say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will reveal who Jesus Christ is. Paul says in Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, the Holy Spirit will reveal that. The same as he revealed to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross looked over to Jesus on the cross. Jesus was on death row with a thief. And the thief recognized Jesus Christ as Lord on the cross. Says, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. He called him Lord. If thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, he knew he was going to resurrect because he said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shall be with me in paradise. I'll take that right there. I'll take that promise. So, you know, there are people who say, well, I don't believe in deathbed confession. Well, that thief on the cross was dying. He never took the Lord's Supper. Never joined a church. I mean, a lot of things he didn't get baptized. Wow. He didn't get baptized. But Jesus said, today shall be with me in paradise. So what I'm saying, God can do whatever God wants to do. He's sovereign. But, you know, we need to realize that, as you were saying, Marie, there are boundaries, but God has boundaries different from the boundaries of this world.
Right.
Remember that. His boundaries supersedes our boundaries.
Yeah.
When I'm tired, I'm not really tired because of the Spirit of God inside of me. God, look, that's why he gave us the Sabbath day to rest.
Right.
In 6 days, he made the heavens and the earth. And the seventh day he rested. The seventh day is not to go to church. The seventh day is to rest. That's
Amen.
What the Bible said, rest. He rested. We ought to worship and praise God every day anyway. But people, you know, we argue about what day we go to church, on Sunday or on Saturday. You know, we say, well, we go to church on Sunday because Jesus rose on Sunday. Where you can't prove that. It says when it dawned toward the first day of the week, they went to the tomb. But Jesus was already up. He had already risen. So nobody saw him rise from the dead. It might have happened on Saturday.
Amen.
But that has nothing to do what day we worship. We can worship every day. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's just another thing we argue about to keep us apart. What difference does it make? Worship every day.
Amen.
If you want to go to church on Sunday, go to church on Sunday. If you want to go to church on Saturday, go to church on Saturday. My God.
Mm-hmm. Do you see, Mr. Gabriel? Do you see Kana from India on the line?
No.
He said he was on, so I don't know.
Hey, that might have been him, but he's off now. I don't see him now. But
yeah,
what we're going to read is as we study the Word of God, get in the will of God, then we can pray intelligent. No, John says, in the 5th chapter, 1 John, verse 14, he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So as we study the Word of God, we begin to learn the will of God. So we begin to pray intelligent. So I'm not going to ask God for something he's already told me is wrong. I'm going to ask God for what his will is. I know he wants to heal. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I know he wants to do all of those things. I know he wants to prosper me. You know, he says, bring the first fruit of increase. So shall thy barns be filled. You know, and that wine vest will run over with new wine. I already know God wants to do those things. But we have to obey him. In other words, God wants to give us a harvest, but we got to plant a seed. You know, we don't want to plant a seed, and we just want God to just make things come up. Well, the Bible says, this is what it tells us, that seed time, harvest time. Seed time, harvest time. When we plant seeds, we get a crop. You know, God wants to bless us. He wants to give us everything He wants to give us everything he gave Jesus, because we are joint heirs with Jesus. And we just try to thank God tonight for the messages that he has brought tonight. And I know that we want more of him. I want more of him. Amen. The Bible says to know the love of Christ, which is the best of all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. All
Amen.
The fullness of God. Not half of
yes.
it.
Yes, I'm here
full.
On the line.
Mm-hmm. Kane, are you on?
Yes, Mary. I'm on the line.
So we have that Kane from India. He's on the line.
At word.
Hello, sir. And hello, everyone. And hi, brothers and sisters. And this is Kana Samuel from India, and I'm so glad to hear you this evening, and it's a wonderful time, you know, participating with you in show and listening to God's Word, and I'm so glad. And this evening, and I'm seeing, as the man of God speaking a few minutes ago, God has, you know, he has no limits that he can abundantly bless us. Only that God is expecting us to, we should live in his ways and remember his promises and keep his word in our hearts and mind. and walking with him. And I'm so honored, and it's my honor and it's my privilege to, you know, how God is blessing this show. And, you know, many people are, you know, hearing the God's word and turning and increasing their lives for Christ and to walk with him. And my encouragement to you today, tonight, this is whatever your problem is and whatever your circumstances is, whatever your trial is, but this is the night that God is going to, you know, bless you and heal you and give you everything that you are looking for. And I'm always praying for all the, you know, brothers and sisters on this show and all for America. And may the Lord bless this show, and may the Lord, you know, use each one of us for his glorious kingdom in the days to come. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. You know, I, from a church in China, and he was praying that America will have trials and tribulations, so America will pray. You know, that's the only time we'll move when we're having problems. See, they're having problems in China, and the church is growing. They're having problems in India. The church is growing. They're having problems in Africa. The church is growing. So the early church, look back, they had problems. The church grew. So just maybe we're just real comfortable here that the church is not growing. The church is not loving. The church is not hungry for the word of God. The church is not hungry to pray. The church is not hungry to really praise and worship God. So we need to pray that we will pray that we will minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, people are getting saved, and their only church is under a tree. Their only church is in a field, but people are getting saved. People are coming to Jesus Christ because they're willing to suffer to go and preach the gospel. And I pray that we will have that same heart. I mean, we got the greatest nation. I mean, we're prospered. I mean, all over. But now we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to let the world know that our God is alive. And I just thank God for all of you being here tonight. This is exciting. I'm glad that Kaylin got home tonight from India, and I just hope that he'll continue to come on because, hey, we can reach the whole world. God has already set Facebook and Twitter and all of the social medias. Why don't we just plaster those with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Instead of gossip, let us plant the gospel over every place. Amen. These people are just looking for advertisements. They don't care what message is on there. We need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Father, we just pray tonight that our hearts will be like your heart. As you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, let us be willing to give up our lives that others might be saved. Your word says, if anyone would come after me, deny himself and take up the cross and follow me daily. And I pray, Father, that will be my heart. I pray that all the people we get to talk to, Father, whether here or in prisons or wherever, or in the shelters or folks homeless or whatever, even in our homes, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will deal with their hearts and they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this program tonight. And thank you for those who participated, Lord. And we just love you. We just glorify you. We just know that without you, we can do nothing. We are nothing without you, Father. And we just know that our Redeemer lives. Just know that.
And who showed the moon? Where?
What a good song to leave the program with. I know that my Redeemer lives. Every born-again believer knows that, that our Redeemer lives. May God bless you and may he keep you. Thank you for being a part of this program. In Jesus' name, amen.